From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
Here's Jim Browdy. I am Marjorie Eakin. You're listening to Boston Public Radio, hour number 2897 WGBH. Hello, Jim.
I'm going to spare you the weather report because you ridicule me every
time. It's a steamer.
That's what we know.
Get out the air conditioner. Here with us, inclined.
Studio 3 is the founder of the United Independent Party, and in many ways, a one man watchtower keeping tabs on Boston 2024. That would be Evan Falchuk. Last week, Evan filed a complaint with the state campaign finance regulators asking them to investigate Boston 2024 for its refusal to come clean on some of the public relations expenses. We'll get to that. He's also using his United Independent Party to get a statewide vote on its own 2016 ballot initiative to bar taxpayer money to pay for the Olympics. He'll fill in the blanks. Evan, good to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks for having
me. Thank you very much for coming in. So as Jim said, we'll get to the campaign finance regulations in just a second. But you get this ballot question going on here about the Olympics. So tell people, what are you doing and what's the status of the question?
Well, it's a bit of a lengthy process. Our question is a law that's called an Act for a Private Sector Funded Olympics. It says no taxpayer money for the Olympics, has an exception for spending on transportation. We've drafted our language. We put it out there to the public. People can read it at unitedindependent.org. We've gotten some comments back from the Attorney General's office, so it'll be slightly changed from what you see on the site right now. Come September, we'll be able to collect signatures for it. And we've got 65 days after the middle of September to get 64,000 signatures to get this thing in front of the legislature. If the legislature doesn't enact it, we can get another 10,000. It gets on the ballot in November of 2016.
Okay. You know, every time we've spoken to one of the Boston 2024 people, most recently Rich Davey, who's the CEO, we asked if they intended to meet with you. Yes, we do. We asked Davey the other day. He said, I haven't met with him, meaning you. I think he said, and I'm paraphrasing, John Fish met with him a while ago. Have you had any meeting? Because they said, as I'm assuming people at home remember, that they too were now bought into the concept of a ballot question. Of course, the devil is in the proverbial details. Have you met with any of these people?
No, I haven't. And I have heard Rich Davies say that he or Boston 2024 had met with me, which was surprising because if they met with me, I wasn't there.
You never met with John Fish?
No, never.
Oh, I thought that is what he told us. Well, maybe I misunderstood, but our colleagues will check to see if that's the representation. You know, I tweeted out last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, that the governor told us he would vote for a ballot question in which there was no taxpayer money. The Speaker of the House told me on Greater Boston the same thing. The mayor of Boston, after we asked him several times a week or two ago, said the same thing. And you tweeted back something, and I'm paraphrasing, you'll correct me if I'm wrong. Well, if they all don't want any taxpayer money, why don't they just pass a law saying no taxpayer money? Why aren't they just passing a law saying no taxpayer money? I mean, you don't have to collect signatures, and it's sort of done.
Yeah, and they actually had a chance because there's a state rep, Jeff Deal, took our proposed ballot language and put that as an amendment to the budget bill, and it was killed on a voice vote. They could do that. They haven't done it. And I think what people see when they see that is this isn't looking good. This looks like an effort of a lot of politically connected people to ram something through, to build the momentum for it, to attach all the politically wired people they can to this to make sure that our elected leaders don't cross them.
And you think they're doing that? Why?
The legislature?
I mean, why this idea of everybody that's politically connected and politically wired, putting influence on politicians,
There's a lot of money to be made with this thing. And for a lot of people, look, we've been all around the state as we talk about, as we're building the United Independent Party and talking about the Olympics. And the perception people have is that, look, politics today, there's no honest conversation. There's no real effort to build consensus on things that matter. Even if we do, if something comes along like this, and the Olympics has really surprised most people in Massachusetts, everything stops. And they have spent a lot of money to get a lot of people who are basically set up to block the ability of the ordinary voter to have a say in this thing.
Well, just to be clear, because I think that people are confused. The 2024 people we're talking about, their own they didn't call it a referendum, but their own vote on the Olympics. So I just want to be clear on that. What do you know about that?
I know as much as anybody in the public knows about it, which is to say not much. They've said they want to have a vote in November of 2016.
Yeah.
They said they want to go and collect signatures for it. Well, the way the law works in Massachusetts, that means that they should be drafting a law that they want voters to vote on, which
now
is what we've done. They should be doing it now. They've got until August. In August, you can formally submit things to the Attorney General's office. As soon as you announce that, you're supposed to make filings with the Office of Campaign and Political Finance, which they've not done, which is why we filed that
complaint. Well, as soon as they form a ballot committee, they go do
they're supposed to do that. Yeah, well, they said they're doing it, and it's like announcing you're running for office and then not filing the paperwork with OCPF. The question that should be asked of Boston 2024 is, what do you want people to vote on exactly? What's your proposed law? What does it look like? If it's not what we've put out there, which is the Act for a Private Sector Funded Olympics, no taxpayer money for the Olympics, no guarantees, then what is it?
You know,
they have said to us and to virtually everybody else that has asked. In fact, John Fish was probably the first person to say this. There will be no taxpayer money. They have essentially said verbally what your question says in writing, but they haven't agreed to it in writing.
But I want to ask you about one thing. You said in the question that it would say except for transportation costs. Mm-hmm. I've been very suspicious about the Olympics for a lot of the same reasons you've been. But I really do want to get the MBTA fixed. I think it's really important for Boston to have a functioning system. I was just complaining. I was on the T yesterday. And I mean, every time I get on, I just go crazy. So we're not under what Rich Davey has talked about, if they do have his proposal, anywhere near to fixing the T. They're talking about getting some extra Orange Line trains, extra Red Line trains, nothing really significant, a big deal thing. So when you're talking about transportation costs, accepting transportation costs, what do you mean in your bill, referendum?
What we're trying to say is that even if the transportation expense was just to benefit the Olympics, we don't want to get in the way of any spending to be done on transportation.
Okay.
I'm trying to be simple about it. When you think about what Boston 2024 says, they've said they don't need any transportation improvements. It doesn't matter to them if it happens or not. And the ones that they talk
about. Well, that's not totally true. The $4 to $5 billion they have said
they say
is already in the pipeline.
That's right.
They say would be a real asset to their effort. But they say it ends there.
That's right. Those are the two sides of the coin. One of them is the things that are already paid for. Great. We'd like to do that. But anything else, we're good. And people say that the Olympics might create a deadline. And to the extent that that could be true, and it could be, then I don't want anything that we do to stand in the way of people fixing the T.
Our number is 877-301-8970. If you want to talk to Evan Felchuk, you can ask him a question. You can trash him. You can praise him. Whatever moves you on the – do not ask him about Tom Brady. That's the only thing we would ask at 877.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
But not now.
Would you like to weigh
not
in? Do you think Tom Brady's guilty or not guilty?
He probably told people, make these balls as soft as you can. I think it's ridiculous what the NFL – came out.
Okay,
with
enough Tom Brady. 877-301-8970. Jeez, you know, Evan
Jim,
Falchuk.
It's the story of the day.
It seems to me that your provision on the transportation stuff has a pretty big loophole that might please Marjorie Egan or might make Marjorie Egan or others nervous. It seems to me the way I read this provision, you can't use any tax money except on that. But you can use unlimited amounts of tax money on that. So while they say they need $4 or $5 billion, if Boston 2024 went to the legislature and said, you know, actually, we could use another $15 billion on transportation that benefits nobody except the Olympics and those in proximity to Olympic sites, under your ballot question, they would not be violating any law should your ballot question be passed.
That's
Is that
right.
not correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Why'd you decide to go that route?
I didn't want there to be any confusion or any barriers from the ability of the state to do its job with respect to transportation spending. And what would be more likely to happen is less that they say, hey, we need $15 billion to do something. But you'd say, hey, we need to accelerate those red line cars because the Olympics are coming. That's 5% of the benefit here. And if we drafted something that said, nope, if something has even a little bit of benefit to the Olympics, it's illegal, then we're getting in the way of just doing people's jobs. So that was the reason for it, just to make it simple, just to make sure no. And the real money, Jim, and this is the real issue with the Olympics, the real money in this stuff comes from that guarantee from the taxpayers that says if you don't raise enough money from the private sector, if you have cost overruns on building something, the taxpayers pay. That's where the cost overruns live.
Well, in light of that, this whole overrun and the guarantee that theoretically the mayor of the host city has to sign, even though Marty Walsh says, don't worry about it, I'm not going to put us at risk. It seems to me that if they were to do the ballot question that they say, a variation on yours or maybe yours, that they say comports with their commitment to the public, that minute that they drafted it, the U.S. United States Olympic Committee would say, we're pulling the Olympic Games, because part of the deal has to be that you guarantee if there are any overruns, you'll cover them. And in the ballot question, they'd be saying, well, there's not going to be any public monies additional. So by definition, we wouldn't cover overruns. You understand where I'm going? I mean, doesn't it run totally contrary? A ballot question that they say they'd embrace, theoretically, runs totally counter to what their legal obligation is, according to the United States Olympic Committee, doesn't it?
It's confusing. The things that they're saying.
You understand what I'm saying?
I hear you. The IOC puts together a document that says you've got to guarantee the costs. That's part of their deal. That's how they do business. This is a business, and it's trying to make money by finding hosts to support the Olympics. So the fact that we don't get real straight answers from Boston 2024 on these things, they keep shuffling the deck and changing people around and saying, no, we'll do it better this way and this way and this way. But the core question that voters care about, which is, are you going to spend taxpayer money? They say it, but the putting it in writing part is the one that they can't embrace.
Before we take a couple of calls, Evan Felcher, do you have any insight into Shirley Leung and Mark Arsenault wrote this piece in the Globe over the weekend talking about Steve Pagliuca, one of the heads of the Celtics, taking over the whole thing, Larry Lucchino and Peter Roby. One of the finest people I ever met in my life, by the way, the head of athletics at Northeastern, becoming either vice chairs or some such thing. In the middle, this thing has dropped. There was consternation. I don't know if that was the right word. After they received an email from the USOC, and we don't know what the content is. I assume Shirley Leung and Arsenault didn't either. Do you have any insight to speculation, which is undocumented but makes sense, is that it was a threat, that it basically said you have X number of weeks, months, whatever, to get your poll numbers up or we're pulling the games. You don't have any insight into that, do you, or do you?
No, but this is like Kremlinology, trying to figure out what's going on. You know? And this is important stuff. This is the next 10 years, and it's multiple billions of dollars, and voters have to speculate as to what's happening and who's in charge and whose interests are they serving. That's really what this is about.
Okay, we're with Evan Felcher from the United Independent Party, and he's got this referendum in the works that would be put before voters in November 2016, if everything works out as well as he hopes it does, and people will be voting on whether or not they support the Olympics if they were a guarantee of no taxpayer money being used. Our number is 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. What's the email address, please, Jim?
The email address is Jim Browdy. No, BPR at WGBH.org. Now, on the line is somebody who actually has been doing wonderful coverage of this and related things, our colleague from the newsroom, that'd be WGBH reporter Ann Mastu. Ann, welcome to Boston
Ann,
Public
hi.
Radio.
Hey, everybody.
calling in.
Well, thank you for allowing me to. I'm listening with interest to the conversation as usual. The thing that I think we haven't really been talking about that I'm interested to know Evan's take on is how we really separate taxpayer money from Boston 2024 spending on the Olympics. Because if we host, we're inevitably going to have more police overtime, more trash pickup, more toll collection. And how do we parse all that out? And I can take the question off the air.
No, stay right there, Ann. You're not getting away whether you want to or not. That's a great question.
That's a great question.
How about that sort of ancillary cost kind of thing?
Well, anytime you host any kind of event, those costs are there. Most of that is paid for by cities and towns. With the ballot question, you can only bind the state. So we couldn't say to the federal government, you're not allowed to spend money on security, which it would be doing. And we also can't tell cities and towns that they can't do that. But there is a move afoot in a number of cities and towns to try to have resolutions talking about not using money either from their own budgets or just making a general point that they don't want to see money from taxpayers spent on the Olympics. So I think that the issue you're raising, Ann, is an important one that is going to have to play out. There's not a clear answer to it. You don't see that raised in the Boston 2024 documents when they talk about the cost, and it's a real issue.
Although, in fairness, I think when we had Rich Davian here, I asked him about overtime for the Boston police.
What did he say?
And he was talking about he didn't say all, but many of these costs would be covered by the federal government. Now, I don't know
why
the federal government would want to necessarily do that.
In all fairness to them, historically, with these kind of events in the United States, the federal government has picked it up. Ann, don't go away. I have a question for you. Stay right there. What Evan?
No, it was exactly what you said, is that they call it a national special security event, and the federal government takes over.
So, Ann, does that satisfy you? I was not even aware, and I'm embarrassed to say, I used to do ballot questions for a living, that you can't restrict local spending. Are you sure about that?
Well, this is what it is, and it's a very important thing to get right, because you cannot have statewide questions that deal with solely local matters. And so once you start to talk about local matters in one way or another, you're opening up the possibility for a challenge, which makes the
whole process
more difficult.
Why don't you file a second question that has that? And if they knock that one out, that addresses Ann's issues. You have one that's like this, only state. I used to file multiple ballot questions all the time. You file a second one, does state and local. And if the attorney general's office says the latter one doesn't pass constitutional muster, then you just go ahead with this one. How about that?
Something to think about.
Ann, does that answer your question or no?
Yeah, I mean, it almost does. But like everything with the Olympics, it just raises even more questions. And like we've got, I mean, if the city of Lowell's involved the way Boston 2024 plans to have it, then they're also going to have the same question about what about their police, their trash, their whatever, all of the services that are going to have to be provided for the Olympics. I just think it's very difficult to separate, you know, dollar by dollar, what's spent by the state or local governments and what's spent by Boston 2024.
Yeah, there's not been.
Ann, thanks for the call. Ann Mostu is doing great work.
Transparency and openness about this bid has been sorely lacking. Look, the state was supposed to have hired a consultant by now to study these things. This is the one they were going to spend $250,000 of taxpayer money on. I believe that the RFP.
No, they said to be reimbursed from what I read. Am I not right about? Or is this? Did you say the state of the city?
The state.
City's being reimbursed. Yep,
The state isn't. But they also have. I don't believe that they've hired them yet. I think that was supposed to happen by April 30th. We haven't seen that. But these would be the types of questions that do need to be answered.
We're talking with Evan Falchuk about the Olympics and his referendum question that would make sure taxpayers aren't on the hook for funding any part of the Olympics. Let's go to Andrew in Jamaica Plain. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for calling.
So, I mean, beyond the funding issue, which I clearly have a huge problem with, and I agree with everything you guys are saying, the big problem that I see, especially in JP, is that, the city couldn't even get a parade going to celebrate, you know, Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl without basically shutting down the entire city. So, I mean, beyond...
Well, that followed a huge snow... In all fairness to the city, it followed a huge snowstorm, man.
Sure. And I understand that, to a degree. But, you know, when you're looking at on the Orange Line, you couldn't even get onto a train. Beyond just adding a few extra cars, I mean, what plans do they have? And I know they're using that additional surplus that they said, but it just doesn't seem like it's enough to really get things going around here, and I think it's going to end up costing us a lot more money.
Andrew, Evan can answer any way he wants, but the mayor will be with us at the end of the month for an hour, and that's a great question to address to him, and I hope you do. But thank you for the call. You have a response to that?
Yeah, and Andrew raises a good point, too, which is that our whole region is really not well set up to handle a mega event like this. We have a hard time with the morning commute. So the idea of this massive event coming to Massachusetts – spread out wherever it's going to be spread out. We're not set up to do that. And that fundamentally is, you know, when you think about a process that would have included everybody in it from the beginning, this would have come out and we would have said, you know what, this isn't a great choice for Massachusetts.
Well, you know, Arturo just emailed something which the Globe wrote a piece about focusing on renters in Boston who are really worried about being pushed out by the Olympics, either because people want their property or because the rents are just going to go up during the Olympics. And he said he'd like to see something put on paper to protect renters in and around the city of Boston. Rich Davey thought that was not an issue, that renters didn't have to worry, but obviously Arturo's worried.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you read the bid document, they talk about the fact that there's a lot of housing that's seasonal in the Boston area, which is to say, you know, a lot of students who move out at certain times. But they talked about maybe trying to figure out how to harmonize landlord, leases to match up with the dates of the Olympics, which is going to affect more than just the people that are students that are coming in and out of here. I think there's a real concern about this. I mean, you think about there was a bill that also didn't move in the legislature, which was to say no discounts on advertising on the MBTA. Right.
Was that Bill Strauss, the transportation chair from out of Poisett? Yeah.
Yeah, because the Olympics says we have to take over all advertising. MBTA needs money. The Olympics folks are going to want to sell a ton of advertising. Well, no discounts. Let's make them pay full freight. Killed in the legislature. So, you know, if Rich Davey's saying, well, it's not going to be a problem for renters, well, I find it hard to believe that he doesn't see that as a problem. And I think the reality of life these days in Massachusetts is we've got a hugely expensive cost of living. The Olympics does not reduce that.
Hey, Evan Falchuk, you have filed a complaint, my understanding, I said it a minute ago, so I hope I was right, with the Office of Campaign and Political Finance saying that some disclosures that you believe the Boston 2024 committee is legally required to do, they're not doing. What's your argument here in English?
Well, when you announce that you're running for office or you announce that you're running a ballot question, you've got to go down to OCPF and take out the paperwork to create a committee that allows you to and fulfill the requirements of disclosing your fundraising and your expenses. We did that back in January when we created the People's Vote Olympic Committee. Boston 2024 announced almost 2 months ago now that they wanted to run a referendum. They've talked about collecting signatures. They've been very open about this. They have not made any filings with OCPF. So they should be following the law just like everybody else. I know they're very politically connected and they understand how this process works. They're just not following it.
You know, Evan, you for those who don't recall, you ran for governor. Your party got more than the 3% required to have the United Independent Party a formal status. But in truth, if – let's assume – this is the first thing we asked you. Let's assume the legislature were to do what you want the people to do on the ballot. If the legislature just passed the law, would you have to fold this whole – I mean, your whole party at the moment – is balanced on top of this Olympics initiative, is it not?
We're
I don't mean that in a critical way,
no,
but that is what
we're definitely spending a lot of time talking about it. And it's as
who's we other than you?
Oh, just the we have had I don't know how many dozens of organizing meetings just this year all across Massachusetts. We just had one in Northborough. Well
about attended. For the party or for the Olympics?
For the party.
Okay.
But no matter what issues we're talking about, whether it's the cost of living, student debt. Crime as or and racial injustices as what was going on in Baltimore was being discussed in some of our meetings. It comes back to the Olympics over and over again. So I think you're right on one level that this is something that's energizing a lot of people to get involved in the United Independent Party. It's the reason we exist is that we don't have open, transparent discussion about these issues. I do think that if the legislature went and passed this, it would be good news for the people of Massachusetts that the United Independent Party wouldn't have this hobby horse if in those types of terms. Well, okay, but what matters most is what is right for the voters. And it's why when Jeff Deal, the representative, said, can I introduce this bill in the legislature, I said, please do. And I supported it and was disappointed to see that it didn't pass and didn't even get a vote, got a voice vote and was killed. And I'd like to see someone else try as well.
Let's take a couple of more calls for Evan Falchuk. Marjorie?
Mary from Cambridge. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. There's a problem coming out of left field that we may not have thought of and we need to be prepared for.
What's that?
We think we're protected by the voters voting on this. However, the pro-Olympic people have already started such an enormous campaign to persuade people to vote for Olympics. Doesn't matter if we have a resolution or a vote, if the people are going to be persuaded by advertising to vote for the Olympics. I've already heard an extremely enthusiastic ad, I don't know whether some celebrity or sports person, saying how many jobs in the restaurant industry, in the construction industry, and that it's a no-brainer and people come over from all over the world and it's going to be so exciting. So that no matter what we do, Even if people vote on it, they may very well be persuaded by this pro-Olympic ad campaign to vote for it. So the vote alone isn't going to protect us. We have to do our own advertising or something.
How much money are you willing to sink into this thing is, I think, Mary's question. The history in this state, with very few exceptions, and Mary seems to know this, is if one side in a ballot campaign dramatically outspends the other, they win. There are very few exceptions. There's some, but very few exceptions.
Well, the exceptions are the most interesting ones because
like
there's the repeal of the indexing of the gas tax, which I voted against. But those guys, Ray, they spent about $100,000. They raised that amount of money and spent about that amount of money, and that thing got repealed. It's pretty instructive. And when you think about what they were able to do, they had a simple story. It was, and I don't think this was a fair story, but it was a simple story. Do you want your taxes to go up without a vote? People would say
taxation
no.
Taxation without representation,
they
argued.
Say no, they get the signature. And then when it came down to voting, that had already gotten into the public consciousness.
Yeah.
This one is what's amazing to me, and I have to say that as we're out there and meeting voters, people are pretty clear about what the Olympics is about, and they want a chance to vote on it. I think it's one of the reasons why we're not going to see a vote in the city of Boston in November, because the mayor and city council president know that this won't go well. It's the reason why they push it off to November 2016. People want to have their voice heard. and advertising, there's going to be millions of dollars of it by Boston 2024 pushing this to get this through to people that, you know, they think this is the greatest thing ever. But it's hard when you've lost the trust of the public like they have.
Here's a pro Olympics guy, DJ and Born, who says that he lived in Vancouver during the 2012 Olympics and several years afterward. A great experience. One of the lasting effects were public spaces created from the structures built. For example, a curling area was turned into a public aquatic and fitness center and library became a wonderful destination, etc. By prohibiting public funds, do we limit the possibility of public benefit after the Games in Boston?
There's no question that if you're going to spend like $20 billion, which is what it looks like this will probably cost, you ought to get some good things out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you would hope that things like that could happen here if they went and they spent that kind of money on things. It's not a question of whether that can happen. It's a question of what do we want to do? If we've got all this extra money to spend, let's fix the tea. Let's make sure that schools are properly funded. Let's make sure that people can afford to live here, that there isn't so much student debt. And building things like velodromes and temporary stadiums and special lanes so the Olympic people can get around. This should not be what our priorities are about.
Wait a minute. I didn't know about that. Special lanes?
Well, that's like they did in London, where they're all, you know, remember the lanes for the Olympians and that sort of thing?
The Olympian lanes?
Yeah, they were.
Do you have to be an athlete, or can you be an Olympic hanger-on, or can Steve Paliuka and the new people that are running 2024, can they ride around the Olympic lanes?
They can, probably.
You can't.
You can't.
Particularly after your position. You know, one last thing from me, Evan, which is just a pure speculation. It seems to me that you don't even have to win your ballot question. If you collect signatures, isn't it pretty obvious the United States Olympic Committee is going to say to Boston, I don't want any part of this thing? Which is, I assume, one of the reasons why Boston 2024 has been so slow in coming up with a question. Even are they going to say, you get your question, what is it, August to September to December you collect signatures,
yeah.
Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're collecting signatures in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say to themselves, we're going to hang our hopes on a community that a year from now may vote to pull the rug out from under us. It seems to me that if there's any truth, even though Los Angeles and San Francisco deny it, that there's some outreach as a backup to Los Angeles. As soon as you file your signatures at the end of the year, we have enough to get the question. I know there's a second signature collection period, but it's minimal. As soon as you file your signatures, that's the end of this effort, don't you
think? They're going to submit Boston in September as the official choice of the United
States.
Unless they change their minds. But, you know, there's a lot of money to be made, and putting the Olympics in the East Coast of the United States in the Eastern time zone makes those TV rights worth more than they would be if you did them in Europe or some other part of the world. So I think there's a desire on the part of the International Olympic Committee to do this in the United States, that there's more money to be made here. And so if the locals in Massachusetts don't like it very much, they'll get over it. It's a few weeks. Following the money is often instructive, and I think in this case it's one of those situations.
How do they find you? What's the website for your deal there?
If they go to unitedindependent.org, there's a section there about the Olympics. You can email us at contact@unitedindependent.org. We're looking for people. We've got hundreds that have already signed up to help us collect signatures. We're going to have an army of people out there getting those signatures come September. We definitely need your help and support and help us make this happen.
Evan, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank
you.
Would it be an ethical issue if I was one of the people?
You're not collecting. No, Marjorie, don't even talk about it.
It was a joke, Jim. It was a joke. Evan Falchuk is the founder of the United Independent Party. Thank you so much for coming in, Evan. Coming up, we're taking stock of the Tsarnaev trial. 4 months ago, jury selection began. Yesterday, the defense team's final witness took the stand. Have your views on Zhohar Tsarnaev and the death penalty changed or been reinforced? We're asking you that next on 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio.